Good morning to all of you who are gathered here with us in the church, and good morning and welcome to those who are joining us for the live stream. It's good that we are able to be here this morning to worship God, and as we look at some of the Psalms today, we're looking particularly at Psalm 62, Rest in Weary Times. When I woke up this morning, I did what I usually do, which is open the Bible on my phone. And as I opened the Bible on my phone this morning, the verse that leapt out onto the screen said this: "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." That's Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, which just happened to be the verse of the day this morning as we look at rest in weary times. There are, I have to say, a few notices, and I haven't seen these pictures on the screen either, but I do know vaguely what it's all about. Going through the next few weeks, this afternoon we have a Thanksgiving service for those who have people that they wish to remember over the last year. And so Thanksgiving service today, 3 p.m. down at St. Andrew's. Next Saturday morning, we're having a grounds clearing, tidy up of the grounds here, 9 o'clock to 12. But if you're a late riser, you can still come at 10, that'll be all right. And if you come at 9 and need to go at 11, but it would be good to have a good crowd of us just to do some tidying up in the grounds next Saturday morning. That's Saturday the 12th. Then on Remembrance Day, Sunday the 11th, we're having a bring and share lunch at 1 o'clock. This means that if you've come to the service here and you wish to go to the memorial service on the Wells Road at the memorial there, that's generally at 12, so you've still got time to go and get whatever you're going to bring for the bring and share lunch next Sunday. And then the following Sunday, the 20th, we've got Who's Coming to Lunch. Those of you who've been before will be familiar with this, that we sign up to say either would like to be a guest, or we would like to be a host, or we don't mind which. And the sign-up sheets are at the back of church. So at the end of service, at the back of church, sign up for Who's Coming to Lunch. There'll be a prayer team at the back there as well, and there's coffee at the front. So lots of things at the end of the service. Sign up for Who's Coming to Lunch on the 20th. And then the week after that, 27th, there is a community action tea, 3 to 4:30 at St. Andrew's, a group of around 35 elderly Malvern residents. If you can help in any way, please contact Angela Gibson about that one. And I think finally on the notices, last Christmas we had a Christmas Day lunch for people who would otherwise have been on their own. We'd like to do it again, but we need people to help. Again, if you can help with that one way or another, or would like to attend, then please get in touch with Angela Gibson. Quite a lot of notices there, but you can find them all and others on our weekly emailing. So, end of notices. as we seek to rest in weary times. We thank you, Lord, that you do give us rest. We thank you, Lord, that we can come here in peace to worship you. And we pray that you would be with us now in our words and in our thoughts. May your Spirit move through this place as we say together, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And by way of some responses, here are some words from Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Together, the Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. I remain confident of this, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. And as we wait for the Lord, as his Spirit moves among us, if we're able, let's stand and sing together, Jesus is the name we honour.
Jesus is the name we pray, and as
as we remain standing and as we have been praising God and remembering Jesus is our God, let's just declare to one another and declare what we believe. Let us declare our faith in God as we say together, we believe in God from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So let us sit or kneel as we come before the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all, saying, Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. So as we rest in weary times, Margaret's going to come and read Psalm 62.
Psalm 62. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall never be shaken. How long will you assault a man? Would all of you throw him down this leaning wall, this tottering fence? They fully intend to topple him from his lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall not be shaken. My salvation and my honour depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Low-born men are but breath, the high-born are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or take pride in stolen goods, though your riches increase. Do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, two things have I learned, that you, O God, are strong, and that you, O Lord, are loving. Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done. This is the word of the Lord.
No, it's me. I am waking up.
A Let us pray. Heavenly Father, open our hearts, open our ears, open our eyes to hear you, see you, and receive you this morning. Amen. Rest in weary times, or as Dave texted me this week, perhaps we should call it rest in stressful times. I want you to think back and consider a time when you felt weary. Now, I'm not talking about when you perhaps stayed out a bit late and were really tired. I'm talking about when a situation has got at you, when you feel your energy's been sapped and your energy stores are low, you've got no joy and no motivation for a task. It might also have been a time when you felt battered and worn down and perpetually got at, perhaps always feeling like you're on the back foot. All this describes a time of stress. And I imagine most of us have felt like that at one time or the other. If so, this could be the psalm for you. Now, my suspicion is that this psalm was written to soothe the fevered brow of one who was weary and stressed out, or, as my gran used to say, at the end of their tether, because this is a psalm of trust and of hope. Now, we all know that the psalms are the Hebrew hymnal, they're poetic prayers. And the word psalm means, it comes from the Greek, it means accompanied by a string instrument. Well, music is the food of love, isn't it? Shakespeare said that. And we often find that a good sing-song can raise our spirits no end. Now, I have to say, some songs speak more to one person than another. Take this gentleman, for instance, Leonard Cohen, you might recognise him. Not a man known for his cheerful little ditties. I think we can honestly say that. He was a great poet, he was a very deep thinker, but I don't believe he was known for his cheerful little ditties. But he is one of my Andy's favourites. Now, me, I'm more of a disco girl. Nothing like Gloria Gaynor when you got to gird your loins and get on with something, when you know that you will survive. Oh, good old ABBA. Nothing like a bit of a dance to get you going in the morning. Now, anyone that has listened to enough music will know that a really good song has a hook, something that grabs you, pulls you in, gets your attention, makes you want more, perhaps gets into your ear and you end up singing it for days and days and days on end. You know the sort of thing. It might be a catchy chorus. Could be a fab first line. It could be that a verse speaks directly to you. Now, Psalm 62 does have a wonderful refrain. We heard it at the start. And it's also repeated again at verse 5. It's like a little musical aid memoir, you know, like a musical comfort blanket. It's a bit like singing Slade at Christmas. It sticks in your memory and brings you back to a happier place should you ever drift. Now, the refrain clearly states four very important things which we need to remember, especially when we are weary and stressed out and exhausted. So I'm going to pop it on the screen for us. First, it tells us where we will find rest. Our souls only find rest when they're in God. Our spiritual core seems to seek out what it needs, like a hedgehog rooting around in the undergrowth looking for worms. We need to feed on God. And next, where our salvation or our help, our hope comes from, ultimately from God, not our own endeavours, but from God. Very often, the very thing we need saving from is ourselves. Our homemade little gods, our idols, our deep-seated problems, our ego, our innate sense that the world should revolve around us. Only God can point us in the right direction, encourage us to look at him, not into our own toolkit for self-improvement. God alone. Thirdly, where our rock or our fortress is, where or to whom do we run to in times of trouble? To whom do we hang on to in the rising tide of melancholy, hurt, life? Again, the best and only answer is God, the Lord, the creator of the universe. He is firm, he is steady, and this gives us hope. And finally, we rest in God. Well, what does that mean? It means we shall not be shaken. We feel joy despite all that's raging around us and perhaps in us. Even when you're feeling far from God, when you feel that the whole world is out to get you, allow him access to all areas. Rest in him and with him. Allow yourself to recognize him in you. Meet with him. Sojourn with him. Experience him. Well, that's done a nice job of the first 1, 2, and 5, 6 verses. So let's part that. But one thing I will say is you might want to copy it out. Perhaps in your fanciest handwriting. Stick it on your cupboard, favourite cupboard door, or on the fridge, where you're going to see it quite regularly. Allow it to remind you, to reassure you. So we move on. We can only speculate about the circumstances under which this psalm had been written. If you fancy a bit of homework, you can perhaps read through the life of David in the Old Testament and see if you can see any bits and bobs that might fit. And you might think, oh, that might be what this is talking about. But it might not be, because it might be one of those psalms that was written long after David. Modern scholarship thinks that the Psalms were written over 400 years, anything from the 9th century BCE to the 5th. That's a long time, and I don't think even David lasted that long. But when we read through this psalm, we hear that the author is questioning his attacker, either personally or rhetorically. How long, he says, how long is this going to go on for? He feels like he's on the edge, like a leaning fence, or a tottering fence, a leaning wall. We've all seen that in the winds recently. At times of stress, our minds always leap to that important question. How much longer am I going to have to endure this? How much longer, God? Because I'm really not feeling it right now. I'm not feeling strong. Here I am, Lord, in my weakness. Love me and help me to love me. We also get another observer's input. Apparently, they intend to topple him and they delight in lies. Gosh, this sounds all rather political, doesn't it? Sounds like the news from the past few months. But look at the end of verse 4. We see what they're saying. The sign of a hypocrite. Someone who with their mouths bless, but perhaps in their hearts they curse. Perhaps it is rather better to keep quiet then than to reveal our hypocritical nature. And this should act as a shot across the bow for many people. Remember, it's not what goes into our mouths that makes us unclean. is what comes out. Jesus was very keen to point that out to the Pharisees, who were very keen themselves to be seen to be following the law to the letter, but kept missing the spirit of the law, the point of it, how they could fulfill it. The law was there to guide people towards doing the right thing. God's will, his mission to the peoples of the earth, reaching out and accepting those on the edges. It wasn't meant to be a personal purity code. It was to help instruct others as to what God's love looked like in reality. Jesus was keen to point that out then, and we need to remember it now, especially as we all face times of hardship. Our actions should arise from a heart set towards God, focused on him, if you like. A heart that is soft and resting in God's presence. A heart that is a channel of his love to those who need it. Not a heart that takes on God's role. Jesus tells us that God is a God of love and forgiveness, and tells us to go out and do likewise. If God chooses to judge, well, then that's his job, not ours. In fact, Jesus even warned against it. If you read verses 3 and 4 several times, it does sound rather like the poor person who was a bit of a victim by trial by social media, where people feel it's okay to say things they'd never say to someone's face, using fake news to control and manipulate, using the media to sway the masses. And we all know the trouble that that can get us into. The refrain returns to remind us who to gaze upon, who holds our hearts and our souls in his hands, an exhortation to trust in the dark times, the times of worry, doubt and struggle, because he is our only refuge. But to trust, we have to know, and to know, we need to experience and spend time with him. God knows us. He's known us since before we were born. We're just playing catch up. We can find lots of information about God. You know, many of you know I can read books like most of us can eat sweets. But God isn't found in a book. He's found when he finds you, in our own experience with him. So verse 9, I haven't got it on the screen, but never mind. Verse 9 reminds us of our place in the great scheme of things. We're not the great I am. We are humans. We each have our own strengths. We each have our own weaknesses and foibles. We're not the centre of everything. We don't even know everything. None of us have got it sorted. We're all called to wrestle honestly with issues. We're called to trust, love, and wrestle. So we arrive to the end, to that great phrase. One thing has God spoken, two things have I heard. And you might be thinking, what on earth is that all about? But you see, in rabbinic culture, God's word is multivalent. Now, there's a lot of big words there. But multivalent basically means it's got many applications, interpretations, meanings, or values. Some of you might recall that fancy blue and black dress that hit the media a few years ago. There was a lot of hoo-ha, because some people saw it as beautiful royal blue with black lace, and some people saw it as white with gold. But what people saw depended on who was seeing it. What we hear in God's word depends on who we are, where we are in our journey with God, where we live almost, our circumstances and our background. Consider the words of Hebrews 4. The word of the living God is living and active. Many a time in the Old Testament we're told God is the God of the living, not the dead. And now we hear that his word is living and active. Now to me, who tries to grow things in our garden, if something's living, on the whole it's growing and it's developing, it's looking healthy. No wonder the psalmist says, two things have I heard. Often, depending on your circumstance, the result of a letter or a text or an email can bring about different results, different effects on you. One time it might make you feel really happy, at other times it might make you feel really weary, really sad. Somewhere down the line, when your circumstances have changed, you may hear something different. And the word of God acts just like that, because it's living and active. So what did the poor psalmist hear? Well, it's what we all need to hear in times of stress and weariness, that God is strong and that he is loving. God sounds rather tender, doesn't he? Like a loving mother or father with a child who needs reassurance or a lap to sit on for safety. And there are times when we need God to be that for us. And when we need to be that for others too. This is not a psalm that seeks to coerce God, as if we could, but to state that we rest secure in his arms, surrounded on all sides by God. Which reminds me of this beautiful Celtic blessing. It's rather long, so I've only put half of it on there. But it goes something like this. Christ with me. Christ before me. Christ behind me. Christ in me. Christ beneath me. Christ above me. Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise, Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. So as we leave here today, let us remember the words of the refrain, the words of this blessing at times of stress, so that we can rest in God and help those that we meet rest in God too. Amen.
Thank you, Jackie, and I hope we have all noted that one thing God has spoken and two things I have heard from him. We know that God is strong, we know that God is loving, and we know that if we listen to his voice, we shall hear it. And so let's stand and let's sing together. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Would you like to sit down? That is, unless you are Joanne and unless you are B. And so I am going to be joined you'd like to stand there. Many of you will know B and will know that she was not born in the centre of the universe, which is obviously Yorkshire, but she was born in Peru. And this week, where are you going this week?
Oh, somewhere called Peru and Lima.
And are you taking with you some important people?
Yes, Bishop John and his wife, and the Reverend Philip Bradford, and my friend Margaret Rutter.
And this is obviously just a holiday, is it?
Oh, of course. See some friends. I did have the pleasure of, when I retired, to go out and work there and meet Christians and work with the Anglican Church. And I still speak Spanish for some reason.
So you're going...
I'm going on the 10th, next Thursday, at some interesting hour, like 2:30 in the morning, and then I'm coming back on the 22nd at 2:30 in the morning. I shall know what 2:30 in the morning looks like.
And you will be there as an interpreter?
Well, no. What's the difference between a translator and an interpreter? Translator, I think, literally translates what the other person said. An interpreter makes up some things, maybe not. The Bishop of Worcester doesn't speak Spanish, so I'm quite happy to translate for him at times, but not his sermons. And his wife doesn't speak Spanish either, so there'll be three of the party of five that don't speak Spanish, but Reverend Philip Bradford, a vicar in Worcester, does speak Spanish, so there'll be two of us who do that.
So that's where you will be in a few days' time. And so
that's
Joanne
right.
is going to, well, we're all going to pray, but Joanne is going to lead us in praying for you as you go out and be there.
Lord Jesus, we pray for this special person that you brought into our lives. We ask now, Lord, that you will just watch over her on her trip to Peru. All the preparations that are needed for strength, for good health, for before, during and after that adventure. And we pray that you will keep them safe while they're there in a foreign country, Lord, so that they can fulfil all the things you want them to do while they're out there. So just bless her, Lord, and just let her know that you are there with her every step she takes. Amen.
Amen.
Go forth.
Gracias. Gracias.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, our prayers today focus on families around the world in need of physical, mental and emotional support. So firstly, we pray for those in the Ukraine who in the last month have had access to power cut off because of the attacks on their power stations by the Russians. We pray for those who are in need of warm food, hospital treatment and a warm place to rest. We especially pray for families with babies born this past month, and we ask that you will give hope and strength to them as they wake up each morning with new challenges to face. We pray for families in the Philippines following flooding and landslide caused by the recent tropical storm that resulted in a loss of life of 110 people. This is the 16th tropical storm to affect the Philippines this season. 170,000 people have sought shelter in evacuation centres. And Lord, we pray that essential supplies of food and water are available for all in need. We pray for families in the southwest Florida area affected by Hurricane Ian, who are on a long road to recovery, with many losing their homes and, due to the location, have no flood insurance. Many are elderly and finding it difficult to recover from the psychological effects of Ian, more than the physical destruction. Already two men in their 70s have taken their own lives after seeing the destruction. And Alice, a mother of four, wept as she picked through soggy clothes, toys and furniture, looking to salvage something for herself and her children from their home. All I can do, she says, is make it to the next day. So, Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit will be active in this area so that practical and emotional support can be given to those in need. We pray for families in our own country who are in need emotionally, mentally and physically. We think of children who need long-term medical care with machines that will now cost more to run as electricity prices increase. And we pray for those adults and children who are finding it hard to get the treatment and support they need for both mental and physical health. We pray for the families of our government with all the changes that have happened in the last 2 months and the effects it has had on their daily lives. And now, Lord, in a time of silence, we lift to you those known to us who are in need of your touch in their lives. We close our prayers by saying together the words on the screen. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
As we come towards our time of communion, we remember that God is in this place, that God is moving among us, and so we'll stand and we'll sing together. And because we have our Saviour's love, so we know that we are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you. You might like to share peace with one another as Helen comes up to celebrate communion for us.
The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. On the night he was betrayed, at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. As we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ our Lord. With your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Do come to the table to share in the bread and wine today. God is merciful and invites each one of us to come to him, to rest in him, and to receive from him this morning.
So we pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. So we come to our final hymn and remember that we can rest on him who is both our shield and our defender. Father, we know that we can only give back to you what is yours, but we offer you these tokens as we offer you the monies paid directly into the account by standing order and in other ways. And we ask that all may be used to build your kingdom and give you glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you feel it's right, you may like to just hold out your hands to receive the blessings that God pours down into weary lives. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen. If you are weary and you would like some prayer, there are people at the back willing and able to pray with you. Don't forget to sign up for the Who's Coming to Lunch, and there is coffee at the front. Have a good week.